Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawbona. In Senegal, nangadef. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings. And may peace be upon you all.
We want to really drum up freedom. We're drumming up freedom tonight. Freedom, freedom for this mind up here. Freedom, freedom. Too many people are still in slavery. Juneteenth, we're going to hear, what is Juneteenth? Some people don't even know what Juneteenth represents, why we're celebrating, why we're not. And so I'm going to play a history lesson, a short history lesson, like 3 minutes of what Juneteenth represents. And then we've got a very special guest from Lagos, Nigeria, coming on. She's going to come on through YouTube. So I want to play this one more time because I want you to get your drums. This is a collective effort to bring in the drum beat of our Native American ancestors and bring freedom, call out freedom, freedom, freedom as we drum. And Becca Shea is just one avenue of music and sound to help us release the tension, release the victim mind, release the anxiety, the fear. While Bekesheh sings this beautiful song about Yeshua, Yah is our Savior. Yeshua means Yah. The Creator is our Savior. And if the Creator is in you, that means you are going to save yourself.
And hurt, blood has hurt some people for a whole time. From every tribe and language, people, every nation. Where warriors are falling, there's a resurrection coming.
And if your heart will rise and shine,
oh, wake up, you sleeping giant.
The womb of injustice are being healed by the peace.
Oh, Yahweh is bringing the power to unity. Where warriors are falling, there's a resurrection coming.
Tribal come alive.
Yeah, wake up, you sleeping giant.
Your heart.
Talk about celebrating and mental slavery and Juneteenth. It's Juneteenth. So for those of you who are maybe a little unfamiliar with what Juneteenth is, I've got some information for you. But most people all over America, and I'm not going to say most people, people all over America, yesterday, today, tomorrow is the first year, I believe, where Juneteenth is a national holiday. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe tomorrow will be the first time Americans have celebrated this holiday as a national holiday. So We want to talk about that and bring some much light to the idea of Juneteenth celebration. So we're going to play for you a little piece about what is Juneteenth, because some people may have no idea, and this little explanation will just set the foundation, set us on the tone that we need to be on of knowledge for those who may not be aware. This is exactly what people at. What is Juneteenth? So here we go, a little history lesson.
What is Juneteenth? Juneteenth is the oldest known celebration commemorating the ending of slavery in the United States. President Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation, freeing enslaved Africans in the United States in 1862, and the 13th Amendment passed Congress, officially abolishing the institution of slavery in 1863. But it would take years for word to spread. On June 19, 1865, Union soldiers led by Major General Gordon Granger landed at Galveston, Texas, with the news that the Civil War was over and the roughly 250,000 enslaved people there were now free. The orders read, "The people of Texas are informed that in accordance with a proclamation from the Executive of the United States, all slaves are free. This involves an absolute equality of personal rights and rights of property between former masters and slaves, and the connection heretofore existing between them becomes that between employer and hired labor. The freedmen are advised to remain quietly at their present homes and work for wages. They are informed that they will not be allowed to collect at military posts and that they will not be supported in idleness either there or elsewhere." You might be wondering why it took so long to spread the word. General Robert E. Lee surrendered in April 1865, but Union troops didn't arrive until June. The Emancipation Proclamation only freed enslaved Africans in the Confederate states liberated by Union troops, and that didn't include Texas. Though slaves were lawfully freed, they were far from free. Many were even punished for trying to take advantage of their new rights. One former slave recalled seeing people shot and hanged after trying to escape to freedom, and another shared an account of being asked to work another 6 years and being whipped just like she was before. Even though the newly freed in Texas didn't receive the full benefits of freedom, they turned the day into a celebration. June 19th was coined Juneteenth, a blending of the words June and 19th. Every year, Juneteenth became a chance for people to get together with family members, measure progress against freedom, and teach rising generations the importance of self-improvement. They would read the Emancipation Proclamation, hear sermons, share meals, and play games. And many of those same traditions carry on today in Juneteenth celebrations across the country. Texas became the first state to make Juneteenth an official holiday in 1980. Since then, 46 other states and the District of Columbia have recognized Juneteenth as a state holiday or holiday observance. Although not a federal holiday, many global companies like Twitter, Square, Nike, and Lyft have made the day a company holiday in the wake of protests to end systemic racism sparked by the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Today, more than 150 years after celebrations began, June 19th is about remembering the past and moving toward a future that involves an absolute equality of personal rights and rights of property between former masters and slaves. Juneteenth, a celebration of freedom and the fight for its fulfillment.
Yay! We're free. Now, to a degree, that Juneteenth number 7, it's a 7, right? The Juneteenth 6, 19, 9, 10, 7 represents a physical freedom, right? Because the slaves were now, at least some of them. There's so much controversy around this whole history that we won't go into all of that. But if you have comments that you'd like to make about the controversy and some of the misinformation around June 19th, feel free to call in 215-383-5863. We want to set the record straight tonight about this whole Juneteenth history. But I think most of us agree that was a physical freedom. So what happened to this mind when that occurred is what we want to talk about in this show today. Because the reality, even moving forward from that date where that all that activity, the soldiers coming in, a man said, you're free, and there was rejoicing, there were still many people who didn't even want to leave the plantation, many people who really didn't think they had the freedom to move around. And then those who did leave the plantation met up against lots of conflict, resistance, hatred, racism, you name it. They still had a battle on their hands. So we want to talk about today on Soul Purpose Healing, a number 4, by the way. June 19, 6, 19, 2022 represents a 4. And so we want to keep that number 4 in mind as the energy, the universal, megaverse. Not a universe. We're learning more and more. It's more than one verse universe up there. So we want to keep in mind number 4 is running the show today. But June 19th was the 7th. So there was some divine work in that date that created in the minds of many people back then that they had to stop their ignorance. They had to stop their chattel working. They had to stop the restrictions and the chains. The chains had to come off the physical body, right? But even moving forward, there are still some signs of mental slavery. So I found this beautiful young woman, Eva Alordoya. She's from Africa. And she's going to do a little speech about, was Kanye West right? Remember, some of you may remember a few years ago, Kanye West came out and said, well, it's really, we're really under mental slavery. So I want to play that for you with this Eva Alordoya from Lagos, Africa, giving us a modern day interpretation of mental slavery. So let me pull that up. I'm new to this sharing screen business, but I want to pull up mental slavery on my screen with me to help us see. Let's see, StreamYard. To help us see what's really going on here. So let me just go back here. Where is it? Okay, we're going to play this Mental Slavery. Was Kanye West right with Eva Alordoya?
It's like we're mentally in prison. We're mentally in prison.
To control the masses, they need the power of the creative imagination of every individual in the nation. It's why they constantly strive to get your attention. And the easiest way is to have you dine at a table of fear, where they serve you a feast through the images you see and the words that you hear. And they are happy to keep us divided through religious propaganda, through race and gender, because the moment we come together, we become stronger. We have become enslaved mentally through many years of social conditioning. When we think about slaves, we only like to think about the people who've been unfortunately physically oppressed and shackled by the leaves. But the worst kind of slavery is the kind that holds you bound in the mind. Understand that you are daily reprogrammed, conditioned, and manipulated by the powers that be. I already told you before, turn off the TV. The way to guard your mind is to take charge of what you listen to and what you let your eyes see. Because the more they can hold on to your attention, the easier it becomes to manifest more chaos and wars and hopelessness and fear through the power of our own mind. We must understand that the quality of a nation is not dependent on the men who hold political positions of power, but on the collective consciousness of the people together. And so to change the world outside of yourself, you must be willing to change the world inside of you first. And it is by changing our thinking that we are able to change our being. Who you are today is the sum of your beliefs. And what you now believe is a function of years of social conditioning and experience and culture. Understand that you do not believe what you see. You see what you already believe. So don't be afraid to question all things, to ponder and think, to discard the ideas of other men and let go of what you've been told. Forget what you think you know. Just start again. More than half of the world is just dumb, is walking. They got brains but don't think for themselves. They're leaving unconscious. consumed by TV programming and addicted to the rush of dopamine from tele devices and social vices. They know the right angles for the perfect selfies, but don't know what the self is. They're focused on everything that's happening outside of themselves and living depressed, constantly comparing their lives to the highlights that they see on their feed when they swipe right, and it's a hard life and you don't have 1,000 more likes and worse, you're broke, you can't even afford life. This is mental slavery. As a species, we have slowly begun to teach our brains how to lose focus, constantly distracted by beeps and notifications, and we have learned social depression and the art of living unconscious. We are living in times of great mental slavery. We no longer think deeply before we speak. Instead, we're eager to type comments quickly in the beat to fit in. If you follow the crowd because the opinions are so loud that it drowns out the voice of your own powerful reasoning, then you are mentally enslaved. We live in the most advanced world that we could have ever dreamed of, and we have been provided with tools which have exponentially expanded our views, but instead of becoming renewed in the way that we think and in the things that we do, we have found ourselves today more depressed and confused, because the problem is not in the tools, but in the way they are used. We must learn to begin consciously choosing for ourselves what we will follow, what we will think, and what we will do. All our lives we've been programmed to believe that we must accept whatever's handed down from generation through religion and education. We've been taught to believe that we cannot choose, that we are supposed to live by the code monkey see, monkey do. And this is mental slavery. So free yourself, own your mind, own your thoughts, and own your life. And the best place to start is to start with love. What is love?
We have to start by loving ourselves, because what you say to somebody is a reflection of how you feel about yourself when you put that energy in the world. I love myself. When you start thinking about love and start feeling love and thinking about forgiveness, then you can overcome things.
What do you think of that? That was some powerful words spoken by both Kanye West and this beautiful sister from Lagos, Africa, Aladia. Whoa, I would really like to know your thoughts. I'm going to probably play that again later on the show for those who come in later, because what poetry she gave us about the situation in 2022. So poetic in my mind for us to start thinking about and discussing the mental slavery that many of us are still suffering with. So I'm going to go to the phones because I see, before we go to the break, I see someone with their hand up. And I want you to call in and give your comments about breaking the chains of mental slavery. Because today people are celebrating with food. And I have this great audio I want to play about the food, the best food for Juneteenth. You'll have a laugh maybe at this one. But we're celebrating something while the elite and those in authority are planning their next chess move. So I don't think it's probably a little too soon or early maybe to celebrate, but while we're celebrating, let's just think about the chains that are still on the minds of many people. So we're going to get into that more, but right now, 336-350, your mic is open. Welcome. Are
greetings,
you there?
Dr. Reed.
Yes, ma'am, greetings.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you good. Go ahead.
Is he?
Yeah, can I hear you? Can hear me? Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Okay. You know, Dr. V, we will have freedom. And when I say we, I mean human beings or the beings on this planet who look like you and I. We will have freedom when we decide that, for the most part, we will discontinue being crabs in a goddamn barrel.
No,
I don't know.
What does that mean?
I wanted to. What does that mean?
Crabs in a barrel. Some people might not know what that means.
Pulling each other down. When one gets up a little bit higher, the other crab comes along and pulls that other one back down like, oh, no, I can't get out of here. You can't either. Or, you know,
yeah,
we have issues, family. And first of all, if we do not get some mental health to clean up what has been allowed by us to be soaked in to our DNA, our sponge bodies, or however you want to put it, the conditioning to be other than who you are, you see, is sad. And I mean, Dr. Z, I look at I won't say, well, no, I won't. I look at people who look like me, and it's sad. It's sad. The mentality, and I'm not saying 100% all of us have switched gears, but too many of us have switched gears. Even our children are reaping the benefits of our ignorance. And if it's not the parents, it's the system that comes in and snatches the children. You know, they're just waiting for any little thing, especially when it comes to someone who looks like me and you. They're waiting for that family, mother, especially mothers, to F up and bam, right there before you have any say-so, here comes social services. And the next damn thing you know, your child is locked up in the system and trafficking and all of that bullshit, you know? And it bothers me that we do not give a shit about raising our nation of children. And then we allow the Caucasian man to come in with all of those goddamn laws that they done made up to snatch your child even further off into the system. And how and why I feel like this and this passionate about it, because that happened to my daughter when she was 10. And if it had not been for my dad being who he was, and my granddad, 33rd degree Mason, whatever that means to anybody, they got my child out of that situation. But right today, my child blames me. I had her at 16. What the hell did I know? Along with an alcoholic mother, a mother who trafficked, who did what the very sister, but she did the best that she could with the knowledges that she had. And Dr. V, if our nation of people who look like you and I do not get some goddamn help mentally, I don't know.
Thank you,
sister. We got issues. Thank us. Thank you for allowing me, Dr. V. Oh,
and I so appreciate your transparency, your honesty, and sharing that you do about his story and the mental construct that we all have about our history is that it was either good, bad, or wrong, or right. And so we are now in 2022, we have this great opportunity to look at the story that we tell about our history and to analyze it as you have done so beautifully, my sister, to realize that when you know better, you do better, for one. That's one of the lessons we learn. And we realize also that this third dimension mud that we're in, has really been a lot about, as Regina Green is saying in the comments. Thank you, Regina, for tuning in. She says, pet programming and self-hate mentality. Thank you. You're so right. And that's the his story. So we have been privileged. We've been privileged to take part in this history of third-dimensional mud, stuck in the mud of wrong, right, good, bad. And now here we are today celebrating our physical freedom, and that's about it, physical. And that's why I appreciate your testimony, because now when we get all that out, when we're honest about the things that have happened to us, we can go on to analyze this, to mentally construct what happened versus what is happening now in this journey to get out of the mud of third dimension mud into fourth and fifth, where there's no wrong, right, good, bad. It's just lessons. So we're all in this school of life 101, whatever you want to call it, this university of life. And that's what we're going to do tonight, is just break this stuff down into what is going on with the mental slavery especially. But we also want to look at some of the fun things, like what people are doing, like eating. I was so interested to there's food. There's actually the best food for this day, to bring a little lightheartedness to this whole drama that we're in. But we got to take a break. It's time for a break. So I'm going to open the mic of my executive producer, Naima Latif, is in the studio, and she's going to play our first commercial. Thank you, Naima. Your mic is open. We'll be right back. Stick and stay. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Thank you for tuning in. Naima, your mic's open. I think your mic's open. Let me make sure I got the right mic. Okay, Naima's on 312. Okay, yeah, your mic's open, Naima. Ready now. Okay, ready. We're ready. Okay.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Taxes are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Thank you.
messages. And we have our first comment was by my sister, Mama AV in Arizona. She's doing a great job of healing. In fact, I'm going to have this Friday, I'm going to have a guest on that worked with Mama AV in Sedona this weekend to help her get her body back into balance. I'm excited about that. Thank you. Mama AV is always connecting me to people who enlighten and who educate and who help us grow and break these chains. Now, Juneteenth is here. People have been celebrating wearing their African color, their African garb. Even though I'm wearing my Native American earrings with my stone and my feathers because I'm really more Native American. And I believe they took our land. I'm taking my land back. And I want everybody to think, take your land back, not necessarily get reparations because that's a whole other story, another show. But we want to take our land back. If you have any Native American energy, mind, spirit in you, the goal, the plan, and the village of tiny house living, whatever, take your land back. Just work on that first and leave the government out of it because the government is full of psychopaths. And that's why we got a lot of people eating all kinds of food for comfort. And that's part of the mental slavery that we need to break. But here's a little fun audio, only about 4 minutes, that I just thought it was interesting, that the best foods to celebrate Juneteenth. You know we got to have some food in this celebration. So listen to this on different levels, how especially melanin people know how to celebrate with food, and food brings comfort most of the time, not the food nourishment. That's part of the mental slavery, is that we're still eating the hog maws and chicken, and the collard greens is the only saving grace from the plantation. Otherwise, we're getting that fried chicken, and them pigs are still in the diet. So listen to this analysis of what is the best food.
We know that July 4th wasn't really about true freedom for
everyone. No.
This
we
is
were
kind of our, literally, our independence
like
day.
60 years later.
Juneteenth was the day that the last slaves were freed in America. In 1863, the Emancipation Proclamation went into effect, but not all states really sort of got the memo in time. And June 19, 1865, Galveston, Texas.
Wow. That was when we physically were out of bondage on Juneteenth.
So, like, a lot of my family's from Texas, so
okay.
A lot of them, like, try and celebrate Juneteenth whenever we can. And whenever we did, like, celebrate it, we always had, like, the giant cookout. Fried chicken was always on point. Fried fish was always on point.
And like, is it usually always a cookout?
No, cookouts are really like the cornerstone of the culture. I'm sure food is going to be in there no matter what.
No matter what.
I grew up in a West Indian household, and so Juneteenth wasn't and isn't really a big part of our culture. It was something that when I found out about it, I was like, wow, this is, how did I never hear about this?
Exactly. I feel the same. I like grew up in a Nigerian household, and my neighborhood was pretty white, so nobody was celebrating Juneteenth. I'm not even shameless to say this, but like Blackish episode like is what put me on Juneteenth.
I'm talking about Juneteenth. It was the 20th, but the 19th when it was told to us.
I think if more people knew it existed, they would understand why it's important, because if we're talking about independence, the independence of black people should be celebrated as well. Mm-hmm. I think on a state level, it's like a state holiday.
And
definitely
45 states.
Oh, really?
45.
Wow. 45 states.
45 states.
So, I mean, mm-hmm. You only got 5 more to go. Might as well just make it national, right?
100%. I usually don't like cornbread, but I'm going to go for it because it looks really good.
I'm going to try the okra.
I'm going to go with the mac and cheese.
So this is, we have the cornbread. Some people will be having their cornbread way too dry. I love a little crunch around the exterior of it or whatever.
That's why I like
that. But the middle has to be soft.
Here's our classic fried chicken.
I'm just going in with the
hand. That's what I'm going
to say.
You can't come to a cookout like expecting to sit there and just be like,
no, it's not going to be a neat affair.
No. My personal favorite, the mac and cheese. You could definitely tell that they weren't shy about putting the cheese in there. Like, it's going to put you to sleep right after you eat it.
Yeah.
Personally, that's what I look for in my mac and cheese.
We have the okra.
I personally don't really love okra.
Okay.
Oh, really?
The thing with okra, it's definitely, like, personal because it is a slimy situation. So if you're not used to slimy stuff, like, it's not good. And then we have our watermelon.
You gotta have your
this
red.
This is, like, our redness, all the stuff.
So I was like, wait a minute, I'm seeing a lot of red here.
Okay.
I feel like red is probably a theme that everybody knows, and I'm just the only one finding it out now, but it actually comes from slavery. The hibiscus plant came over as part of the slave trade, and so like the red of the hibiscus, obviously symbolism with the blood of the slaves, I think they want to just not forget it, but at the same time celebrate that we're freedom.
This is a huge slice of cake. Yeah. This is diabetes all in one place.
Is this like double what I normally go for?
Oh, that's good.
Oh my god.
That's really good.
Red velvet is always the favorite. Mm-hmm.
Oh my god.
June 19th is the day that we need to be celebrating moving forward, and let's try to get it a national holiday.
Everyone should celebrate it, whether you're black, white, Asian, Hispanic, whatever you are, purple, brown, whatever. We should be celebrating Juneteenth because it means it was finally when everyone was recognized as whole human beings and not owned as property.
Look, if you like to eat and you like to enjoy yourself, why not celebrate it?
Try something new. Go out. Learn a little bit.
Tell a friend to tell a friend about Juneteenth.
Yes.
And you will not be sorry.
Happy Juneteenth! Where do you think people mess up with mac and cheese? Because that's
too much. The minute I see raisins in anybody's mac and cheese, I was like, no, I'm not going to have that.
That is the funniest part of that video. Raisins and macaroni and cheese. Oh, boy. That's such a cultural thing. You know, if you've ever been to picnics with your family, and you know there's always macaroni and cheese, there's a potato salad that has to be really analyzed. When you're viewing the table, and the watermelon, that's easy. Okay, does it have, nowadays, the question you had, does it have seeds? That makes it real food, otherwise it's GMO. But the macaroni and cheese, that really was funny. If I see raisins in the macaroni and cheese, you know, no. And then the potato salad, that's another one. Too much mayonnaise, nope. And my mother used to put mustard in her potato salad, which was great. It gave it a little bit of tangy taste. But how about that? That's what I think we can celebrate, is this beautiful culture that many of us grew up in that was fun, and it was delicious. And the result of that, unfortunately, too much of the pork and the fried chicken and some of those other fat foods was diabetes. So we are now at a place of, will you say, consciousness or awareness? Are we there yet? The chains of mental slavery is that we continue to behave in certain ways that cause us to suffer and have disease, in my mind, and that we are not coming together as a global family of conscious, healthy human beings. So moving into 2022, I feel that this mental slavery is not about color. It's not about the color of skin, because we got a bunch of mental problems in Washington, D.C., in my opinion, that need to be dealt with, prayed for, eliminated, however you want to put it. But we need to make note of the mental problems in Washington, D.C., in our medical system. And in fact, the mental slavery in all our systems that affect our lives, like how many vaccines does a child have to have to go to school? That to me is like mental slavery. You're still on the pharmaceutical plantation, and there's something that has to be done with that. So how do we break those chains of mental slavery? Well, I have another visitor, another guest, who's going to tell us how we break the mental chains of enslavement and escape. How do we escape? Now, this is from a man. Okay, I don't think I know his name. But what he came up with as the how to escape was a surprise to me, because our Thursday host, Dr. Debbie Green, talks about this all the time. How to escape the chains of mental slavery. And I don't have his name yet, but I'll get it for you later. So listen, this is so important, because this is the first step in mentally thinking about pulling the chains out for us to have freedom of mind to choose a better life, better relationships, better marriages. All of this comes from this, listening to this. It's a 5-minute information piece, how to escape mental enslavement. Let's listen.
The infamous Stoic philosopher Seneca once wrote, "Show me a man who is not a slave. One is a slave to lust, another to greed, another to ambition. All men are slaves to fear." All humans subject themselves to mental enslavement. Historical conquerors, politicians, the CEOs of today, your bosses, all of them rule over many, many people, yet fail to rule their own minds. The most recognizable Stoic philosopher, Marcus Aurelius, wrote in Meditations, "Alexander and Caesar and Pompey, compared with Diogenes, Heraclitus, Socrates, the philosophers knew the what, the why, the how. Their minds were their own. The others? Nothing but anxiety and enslavement." Stoic philosophers look to teach us to think beyond our emotional instability, free us from mental enslavement, free us from the turbulence of our emotions. Aurelius himself faced his own mental demons. Stop allowing your mind to be a slave, to be jerked about by selfish impulses, to kick against fate and the present, and to mistrust the future. How do we overcome mental enslavement? Stoic philosophers hold the keys to understanding a mindset and way of thinking that can be extremely applicable to living a good life, a productive life. The idea of inserting personal responsibility into your personal philosophy. We often want to blame others for our state of mind, our job, our wealth, not having the same privileges as others. But do privilege and wealth truly help you escape mental enslavement? Just look at Hollywood. Look at all of the stories of dysfunctional behavior in Hollywood, where a star is one bad decision away from being shipped off to Crazy Town. Money and fame cannot buy you mental freedom. We all suffer setbacks in life, events out of our control, losing loved ones, facing financial ruin at the hands of others, rejection and heartbreak, putting endless effort into a project only to be left crushed when it fails. Every single one of us forms our own unique identity, the story of you. Fate leads the willing and drags along the reluctant, moves on a linear line, like a movie. You can choose to be an actor or choose to be the director, allowing those conquerors, bosses, politicians, and CEOs to have more power over us and our own happiness than we do, is to be stuck in our own victimhood. By believing other people and circumstances control how we think, feel, and dictate the choices we make, is to live in mental enslavement. Overcoming this mindset, freeing yourself from victimhood, can only be done by embracing a philosophy of personal responsibility for your own choices. We cannot allow ourselves to take pride in casting ourselves as the victim, only to regard others as victimizers, taking joy in our misery, wearing our misfortunes as a badge of honor, justifying our own self-pity. In reality, it allows us to wallow in our own mental shortcomings. Make the best use of what is in your power and take the rest as it happens. The world owes us nothing. Believing others are advantaged where you are disadvantaged does nothing to change your circumstances. There is no knight in shining armor coming to rescue you from your own mindset of victimhood. When we embrace the mindset of victimhood, deflecting our personal responsibility, just remember there are many politicians and bosses at the ready to exploit your false belief. It can ruin your life only if it ruins your character. Otherwise, it cannot harm you, inside or out. The beauty of it all is our ability to take a pledge for personal responsibility. That's something to be hopeful for. This should make us hopeful, and those around you hopeful, when witnessing being free from mental enslavement. See, we can free ourselves from victimhood by understanding the responsibility in our own choices. Where you work, what you buy, what you read, what people you surround yourself with, what attitude you take towards life. Those are choices only you can make. When we start taking personal responsibility, you realize life is fun. Life is too short to take every decision so seriously. Work with what you can control. He who laughs at himself never runs out of things to laugh at.
Was not even expecting him to talk about victimhood when I saw that audio. I just was looking for solutions and ways to come out of mental slavery. And yet it's so appropriate to hear him talk about victimhood, because this goes all the way back to Africa where this whole slavery thing takes place. And I don't think, and by the way, let's just take a break. Deborah, raisins and pineapples and coleslaw, I don't know about that. But that's a cultural fun thing. As he said, we got to have fun with some of this stuff and not be so serious all the time. Pineapples maybe, but take the raisins out. No. Coleslaw should only have a little bit of Miracle Whip. And maybe pineapples, yeah, that adds it up. And then just seasoning. Don't complicate it. So if you have questions about the, if you have comments about coleslaw or any food, feel free to press one in the studio. But let's just talk about the personal responsibility and victimhood. This is one man's idea, which I totally agree with, of how to come out of the mental slavery. And we want to just go back to Africa for a moment, just for a moment, mental enslavement. Back in Africa, if we all could agree that there were lots of tribes in Africa who were sold off to slave traders, right? And if we could agree on that, then we could really make progress on this mental slavery. Because that's where the victimhood really starts, right? We've been told, as Regina pointed out, this programming, and we've come to hate ourselves partly because we have this idea that we were kidnapped as victims, and that somehow our African tribal leaders just stood by while we were kidnapped from Africa. Now, if we really think about that, does that make a lot of sense? When you know the whole history of Europe and the slave trade, it was going on even in China. They were selling people to China. They were selling people to Ireland. People were being sold all over the place in Europe. And then it started a new slave trade. Slave traders went over to Africa to buy, to receive the gift from the tribal leaders. This is a story that we don't hear very often, but if you really dig deep, this is available. This information is available. So it wasn't so much, in my opinion, that we were victims of slave owners going over and kidnapping our poor African brothers and sisters, but our uncles and ancestors, uncles and kings and leaders, tribal leaders, were selling us off to the slave trade. So even today, albino Africans are treated poorly because of their albino skin. I've even heard how Africans kidnap albinos and take their bones and other parts of these citizens of Africa, only they have albino skin. They take parts of them and sell them to, again, traders who are looking for albinos. So if we really go back to Africa, starting there, and start taking responsibility, personal responsibility for our ancestors who were hateful, angry, evil, greedy, let's put greed in there,
to sell their own brothers and sisters to the European, to the other Africans, traders, for money, for gold, bartering, trading, whatever. So we come forward to the whole slave trade in America is just so misunderstood and such a deception and a lie. So part of, as he says, the way to come out of this enslavement of men of the mind is to rethink our history. Just as Mama AZ graciously and openly, transparently shares her history, she's rethinking all that. It was a horror. It was cruel and traumatic for her. For many of us, we had traumatic, cruel cruel mothers, fathers, uncles, aunts. There was a lot of molesting going on back then. Sexual abuse, all kinds of crazy stuff was going on in our history. So moving forward into 2022, Regina Green says we no longer need to pass on blame, but be accountable for our own contributions to our lives. Thank you, Regina. And that's just another beautiful way to rewrite the history that we've been hearing all these years that says you're a victim and you need to blame, let's say blame the government, the U.S. government. The government wasn't really involved in slavery at all. When you look into history, it was really more about corporations. So if we're going to really ask for reparations and payments and think we're entitled to anything, look into the history of some of these corporations that are making lots of money today off of what? Our mental slavery that we need to consume by all these products, probably from a lot of companies that have roots in the slave trade. So take the government, if we take the government out of the picture, leave them alone, put them aside. We know we're broke. The U.S. government is broke. If you haven't heard, we have a debt that is in the trillions, if not worse. So we really need to leave them out of the picture, and hopefully they'll topple one day and we'll get rid of those psychopaths who are warmongering. In fact, one of the things you find out when you dig deep into his story is that a lot of these companies that are producing war machines, the same ones who were promoting the slave trade. Look it up, look into it. There's so much misinformation, so much knowledge that we missed in grade school. That's a whole other system that needs to be wiped out, and we need to develop our own schools. So if we're going to take personal responsibility as a solution to the mental slavery that many of our brothers and sisters are in, and no blaming, to stop the blame, as Regina said, no longer need to pass on the blame. That's not working. This puts us deeper in the mental slavery, right? So let's stop putting the blame out and the victimhood. And of thinking others are more advantaged than we or you are disadvantaged because of the color of your skin or whatever. This is now not even about race. We're coming to a place now in the next hour. We want to talk about mental slavery in the human population, because if we're going to have a better life on this earth, we got to get everybody on board to coming into the self personal responsibility and stop this victimitis disease that we've had floating around. I thought it was kind of funny that he mentioned even Hollywood becomes crazy town when you look at all that fame and money. You know, every day the Kardashians have to show up on your phone with a picture of their butts and their cleavage or their hair, and then African Americans are looking at these crazy town Hollywood people with the eyelashes and the long straight hair, and there's the mental illness again, is that we're not taking personal responsibility for this curly hair that we were given. Many of us don't want to even deal with it. That's okay. don't deal with the curly hair, but we've gone to the extreme, I think, when we have to glue on somebody else's hair. Oh, my goodness. Help us. Somebody help us. Somebody needs to save us. Those of us who think we have to glue on, I'm sorry, I'm not judging, but I just wonder why. And for me, it's just self-hatred, as it's been spoken already. We have this self-hate mentality. We don't like to deal with this curly hair that's been given us, and yet it's our personal responsibility to manage every part of this vessel in a way that brings honor and glory to the creator of this vessel. So if you have any questions or comments, be sure and press 1 in the studio, and we've got to go to another break. When we come back, we're going to talk about, we're going to look at a very popular civil rights leader and, that really points out to us our history as far as culturally and then bringing it forward. Angela Davis was very, very influential in my teen years. My hair was like hers. Everybody's trying to get Angela Davis hair. And I saw an interview of Angela Davis I think is very relevant when we're talking about Juneteenth and self-personal responsibility and how we make choices either to become a communist or not. And then Angela Davis has come such a long way. She is now, I believe she said 78 years old, and her history is just so fascinating to me. So we're going to take a break, another break, with the help of our sister Naima Latif.
Unmuted.
And when we come back, if you have any comments or questions about what we've talked about so far, the chains of mental slavery are broken when we take personal responsibility, come out of victimhood, and stop looking at others as a better than or more advantaged than you when you think about the crazy town that usually comes out of it. So Naima Latif, thank you, taking us to another commercial break.
Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Hallelujah, greetings in the spirit of Wayo and Yah Shalom. Wayo means we are one. Yah is Hebrew sacred name for God, and Shalom means peace. I'm Evangel Mamadi Love Yah Nubian, and I'm inviting you to join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Wisdom with Mamadi. Call in number 515-605-9325. Wisdom. Women in support of daughters on motherhood preparation. And spiritually speaking, men who do the will of Yah are mothers too. As a Montessori educator, author, activist, international award-winning poet, and ordained minister, females, I want you to say farewell to all things, seen and unseen, that prevent your potential. you bring forth.
If you have a question or comment, I know there's some burning questions and comments out there. Just press one. Mama AZ bravely started out this show with a beautiful, beautiful comment about her history and how understanding that history, we analyze it, we break it down, we transform it.
You are now in the host queue.
Into truth and personal responsibility. Because all of us, at some point or another, have had journeys that caused us to just want to suffer, die, cry, whatever, that caused us grief and sadness. But if we can really look at it from a personal responsibility point of view, then that's when the mental slavery can be healed. And yet, if you've been listening, we have slavery to fear. We have slavery to drugs, alcohol, you name it. There's so much slavery out there. Sometimes you just don't know where to begin, because Juneteenth did not end all slavery. It just ends certain forms of slavery. So we're now in 2022, after the last 2 years of slavery, lockdowns, injections, and so forth. Can we rise above the history and make a concerted effort, a joint effort, a collective effort, regardless of race, a collective effort to be more personally responsible for all the choices that we've made? And I want to just play real quick Angela Davis, who to me represents someone who was taking responsibility for most of her choices, even though, oh, wait a minute, Naima Latif has a quick comment. I'm going to open up the mic and let her have a quick comment before we go to Angela Davis, a very popular figure in our history. Naima Latif, go ahead.
Yes, and good evening to all of your listeners and viewers. I was watching a program, and basically the show, what's his first name? Last name is Sandler. Not the actor, but I'm trying to remember his first name. Anyway, he's got a lot of people might be aware of his videos, but he had a guest on that was talking about all of, you know, old souls and all of your various lives, which I always find very enlightening, to see oneself as not just this one identity that you've had, but to realize you've had all the different identities and some of your traumas from previous lives are shaping your current behavior, and even some of your fears, some of your phobias, some of your personality quirks. But what I found particularly helpful in that is understanding that we are not this body we're living in. And even though ancestrally we may come from people who went through a particular trauma, as a soul, we've been part of every group across the world. And so to get stuck on the slave experience, when many of your lives may have been as Europeans, as Asians, you know, as Aboriginals, I mean, to get stuck there and not be able to let go of the pain that keeps us stuck in this cycle of victimhood. And you actually will create a situation in your life today of victimhood because you're not letting go of that energy of victimhood from a past that you may not even have experienced as a soul. You may have come through a line of people, and maybe your goal is to finally end the pain from that family line, but not to keep reliving it and not to hold on to it and not to expect other people to pay for it. Because the people who are wearing white skin, they may have those souls may have been wearing black skin in other lives. So if we can be allowed to see ourselves as the eternal beings we are, and this current body as this particular life experience, but not our total life experience, then we can evolve out of that victimhood state of thinking, and we can evolve out of the anger toward people who happen to be wearing a certain color of skin, but that's not who they are. They're all these various experiences as well. And one of the things, I'm looking for the guy's name, but even if I don't remember it, one of the things that, his last name is Sandler, and I watch his videos all the time, and I can't find it right now. The first name won't come to me. I don't want to say the wrong name. But he has people on that, you know, speak of soul evolution. And one of the things that was said was that if you're at this state where you can understand oneness, if you can understand that we're all connected, if you can understand that you are a composite of many different life experiences, then you are probably an old soul who has reached this point on your spiritual evolution where you are ready to graduate out of the earth school and go on to another experience. But if you're still stuck in anger, if you're still stuck in victimhood, if you're still holding on to pain, then you're stuck in this loop of constant reincarnation back on the earth school where you're still going to keep going through pain until you can learn to let it go and forgive. So I found that to be very enlightening and giving us a goal of what we're really working toward, and that's our own personal evolution out of victimhood into understanding and forgiveness and letting go.
Thank you, Naima. And she's so on point about, you know, it's complicated to come to a personal responsibility level of journeying on this earth and realizing not just this life, but past lives have an influence on what we're doing and why we're here and so much more. So thank you for bringing us to the other dimensions that we are dealing with. And then Dr. Debbie Green says, good evening. And she says, let's celebrate, not complicate our freedom. Lack of freedom is no longer an option. And I 100% agree. Lack of freedom because people are insane out there because they don't have freedom. People are frustrated because they don't have freedom. So it's not an option anymore. This is what we want to work toward is mental freedom where we're making choices that will help us bring peace to this earth and bring joy to this earth and bring healthy
Muted.
Relationships. Every time when I think of mental slavery in relationships,
you are now off the host queue.
That's causing conflict and hurt and suffering in relationships. And we've had a lot of people join. We've had a few people join us since we started. So I want to play this video I played earlier about with Kanye West and this beautiful rapper who brings it to poetry. This woman has a way of helping us see poetically what is going on. And so I'm going to play this audio one more time so that we can hear the poetry. And as Dr. Debbie Green says, we don't want to complicate it, but we want to celebrate. And I think this woman does a really good job of bringing poetry. And she's from Lagos, Africa. But Kanye West is in this as well, reminding us that it really is about mental slavery. So it's only about 4 minutes, and it's a beautiful, uncomplicated expression.
Sure. We're mentally in prison. We're mentally in prison. We're mentally in prison.
To control the masses, they need the power of the creative imagination of every individual in the nation. It's why they constantly strive to get your attention. And the easiest way is to have you dine at a table of fear, where they serve you a feast through the images you see and the words that you hear. And they are happy to keep us divided through religious propaganda, through race and gender, because the moment we come together, we become stronger. We have become enslaved mentally through many years of social conditioning. When we think about slaves, we only like to think about the people who've been unfortunately physically oppressed and shackled by the leash. But the worst kind of slavery is the kind that holds you bound in the mind. Understand that you are daily reprogrammed, conditioned, and manipulated by the powers that be. I already told you before, turn off the TV. The way to guard your mind is to take charge of what you listen to and what you let your eyes see. Because the more they can hold on to your attention, the easier it becomes to manifest more chaos and wars and hopelessness and fear through the power of your own mind. We must understand that the quality of the nation is not dependent on the men who hold political positions of power, but on the collective consciousness of the people together. And so to change the world outside of yourself, you must be willing to change the world inside of you first. And it is by changing our thinking that we are able to change our being. Who you are today is the sum of your beliefs. And what you now believe is a function of years of social conditioning, experience, and culture. Understand that you do not believe what you see. You see what you already believe. So don't be afraid to question all things, to ponder and think, to discard the ideas of other men and let go of what you've been told, forget what you think you know, just start again. More than half of the world is just dumb, is walking. They got brains but don't think for themselves. They're leaving unconscious, consumed by TV programming and addicted to the rush of dopamine from tele devices and social vices. They know the right angles for the perfect selfies but don't know what the self is. You're focused on everything that's happening outside of themselves and living depressed, constantly comparing their lives to the highlights that they see on their feed when they swipe swipe, and it's a hard life and you don't have 1,000 more likes and worse, you're broke, you can't even afford life. This is mental slavery. As a species, we have slowly begun to teach our brains how to lose focus, constantly distracted by beeps and notifications, and we have learned social depression and the art of living unconscious. We are living in times of great mental slavery. We no longer think deeply before we speak. Instead, we're eager to type comments quickly in a beat to fit in. If you follow the crowd because the opinions are so loud that it drowns out the voice of your own powerful reasoning, then you are mentally enslaved. We live in the most advanced world that we could have ever dreamed of, and we have been provided with tools which have exponentially expanded our views, but instead of becoming renewed in the way that we think and in the things that we do, we have found ourselves today more depressed and confused, because the problem is not in the tools, but in the way they are used. We must learn to begin consciously choosing for ourselves what we will follow, what we will think, and what we will do. All our lives we've been programmed to believe that we must accept whatever's handed down from generation through religion and education. We've been taught to believe that we cannot choose, that we are supposed to live by the code monkey see, monkey do. And this is mental slavery. So free yourself, own your mind, own your thoughts, and own your life. And the best place to start is to start with love. What is love?
We have to start by loving ourselves, because what you say to somebody is a reflection of how you feel about yourself when you put that energy in the world. I love myself. When you start thinking about love and start feeling love and thinking about forgiveness, then you can overcome things.
Beautiful poetry given to us by a beautiful woman from Africa, where it all started, this whole Juneteenth event is based on the misinformation that we've gotten about the history of slavery. So if we really think about all the corrections that need to be done, and as the sister said, owning our choices now. We have a choice now to believe a different history than what each of us went through. That before we looked at being victims, we were looking at being a victim, and now we have an opportunity to own our choices, as Angela Davis has done so beautifully in her life. So I want to go back to Angela Davis
and have us listen to this woman who is very popular in most of you, if you're a certain age group at least, remember who Angela Davis is. So just taking a look, I think it's on this Juneteenth, we're celebrating the freedom that we are enjoying in this country called the United States, and yet there's always a threat for that to be taken away. And many people believe the Juneteenth national holiday was just thrown in there to distract people and to help cause people to think, oh, now we've really got something. But listen to the struggle that Angela Davis went through and how she has come out on top of it all at the age of 78.
For more than half a century, her revolutionary ideas have sparked both hope and controversy. Lilia Luciano is in conversation with Angela Davis.
After more than 50 years, she's still instantly recognizable worldwide as the face of revolution.
How does the woman, Professor Angela Davis, relate to those posters?
I felt really uncomfortable, and that is because I think I was expecting to find myself in those images.
But at the age of 78, Angela Davis has come to terms with her image.
Now I look at them and I see all of the millions of people who came together to participate in a struggle.
Racism is indeed the key problem faced by the people of this country, and the threat of fascism is growing.
For half a century, Angela Davis has been sounding alarms.
There is a proliferation of police assaults on the black community all over the country.
Alarms that are still going off today.
Those who still defend the supremacy of white male heteropatriarchy had better watch out.
Of course, I love being a revolutionary and I love being radical. It's important to be radical.
The roots of that radicalism can be traced to her upbringing in Birmingham, Alabama.
I grew up in a world that was entirely organized according to the dictates of white supremacy.
I understand you grew up in a street that was known as Dynamite Hill because of the amount of terrorist bombings when black families moved into that community.
My very first memories are the sounds of dynamite. And then also the fear of watching my father bring his gun out when we thought that the Ku Klux Klan might be assaulting our home.
Miss Davis was a Phi Beta Kappa at Brandeis University in Boston. She did graduate work in Germany and San Diego.
What does Glenn mean when he talks about the socialization of production?
By the age of 26, Davis was an assistant professor of philosophy at UCLA. She had joined the Black Panther Party and the Communist Party, and that made her a target of California Governor Ronald Reagan.
When the regents finally decided to fire me, I said that it was obvious that there was racism involved.
The very first press conference I held in the immediate aftermath of my firing at UCLA, I think my eyes were wide open and my knees were shaking under the table. And today people look at that and they say, oh, you were so much more militant. I said, no, I was just afraid.
Gunfire came from automatic rifles, shotguns, and pistols.
A year later, a bloody courthouse siege brought her worldwide attention, though she wasn't even there. An attempt to free the so-called Soledad brothers, a group of inmates accused of killing a prison guard, ended in a shootout.
When it was over, Judge Haley was dead. Two of the inmates were dead.
The guns used in the attack were traced to Davis. She said she had bought them for her security team after getting death threats, and she went into hiding.
The FBI has put black militant Angela Davis on its list of the 10 most wanted fugitives.
Why did you run?
I didn't have a choice. All of my comrades and friends and I were aware of the ways in which people who were trying to turn themselves into the police had been killed.
The FBI caught up with her at a hotel in Manhattan. She was put at times in solitary confinement, while around the world, protesters called for her release. Then she was extradited to California.
Miss Davis entered the courtroom, turned and gave a black power salute to the gallery.
Davis was charged with conspiracy, kidnapping, and murder. She faced the death penalty.
Outside, there were 1,000 of Miss Davis' supporters shouting, "Free Angela." They've pledged to be here as long as she's in court.
The moment was a long time coming. The jury had deliberated for 13 hours.
An all-white jury delivered its verdict on June 4th, 1972.
The tension was electric, waiting for the clerk to read the verdicts. The first charge was murder, not guilty.
She was acquitted on all counts.
Not guilty.
It was not until that moment that I realized that I had a future ahead of me.
I would simply like to thank all of you who struggled so long and so hard for my freedom.
Davis set off on a tour of the U.S. as well as the Eastern Bloc in Soviet Union.
Bring greetings from the Communist Party to the Soviet people.
She would leave the party 20 years later.
When I left the Communist Party, I made it very clear that although I may no longer be a communist with a capital C, I remain a communist with a small c. Historical experiments don't necessarily produce what we want them to.
The 16 months in jail before her acquittal had given Davis a new commitment.
I had come to think about my incarceration as a gift, witnessing the ways in which other women in prison were being treated. That really consolidated what I think has been my vocation.
She has since dedicated her life to the issue of prisons, not reforming them, but abolishing them.
There are words like defund or abolish. At the same time that they elevate a cause, they also create such division. Why not advocate for reform?
Well, I've really tried to learn from history. So if someone made the argument that abolition is too strong a term, I would remind people that during the era of slavery, there were those who made the very same argument.
The United States has 4% of the world's population, but 20% of the world's prisoners. 38% of the U.S. prison population is black.
What does a world post prison look like?
My question would be, what would a world have to look like in order not to require the persistent interventions of police and imprisonment? We need better education. We would need a better health care system. We would need a better world. So abolition urges us to expand and make more capacious our very vision.
Angela Davis is still writing, still teaching. After 50 years of fighting the same fights, it may seem the more things change, the more the causes remain the same. But Angela Davis is still energized and optimistic.
There are so many issues that you fought against that seem current, and you were fighting against them 50 years ago. How do you not lose hope?
No change is possible without hope. No movement is possible without hope.
We have to march on with the unshakable confidence that we will win our fight for a new society, our fight for a society where freedom, justice, equality, abundance, dignity, and happiness belong to all.
My sister has come a long way where what she says now is she learned from history. And that is so powerful for us to come out of mental slavery, is to not blame the white man or the white supremacist for where we are today in whatever shape or form, but like the revolutionary Angela Davis. We have to transform the systems, as she mentioned, the new healthcare system, and not blame anybody, but learn from what we have all experienced in our lives individually and collectively. So that now celebrating Juneteenth is about going forward and learning from the history of the slave trade and the current administration that continues to do psychopathic warmongering things. And how can we come out? Well, Dr. Debbie Green says self-discovery and self-true identity was lost. It's up to each individual to find themselves. Well said.
And I would say part of finding ourselves is to love ourselves more, to really look in the mirror and say, I love you. You are adorable. You are wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And I'm going to just dress you up in a way that glorifies this body vessel that I'm in and create every day the energy that Angela Davis talks about and all love. The love. Where is the love? Created right here, as Dr. Green says. Self-love. It starts right here. And we've got Regina Green saying, agreed, agreed, agreed. Because if we come together with, first of all, personal responsibility, self-love, self-true identity, who are you? Who are you? Asking that question over and over again. Then we're going to come up with a freer society, especially with our minds. There's so much depression and drug use, over drug use in our society today, that Juneteenth should really be about celebrating a new way of looking at our past and a new way of creating what Kwame Sunhorse calls the Overground Railroad, and creating, looking at new energies, new tools to heal our body from all the past traumas and abuses. So we are at another point of, okay, we're on target. Naima and I are synchronized tonight. We're going to take our last break, and when we come back, we're going to go into, hopefully you have some questions or comments that you want to bring up as we bring it all together on how
unmuted
we're going to break the chains of mental slavery. And there's a beautiful song I think I still have, Breaking the Chains, with Debbie Allen and the group singing that. So I want to play that before we go. But for now, the last commercials, and then we'll be right back after these messages.
Taxes are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me, for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of our cells, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about cell care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
And we, I hope the revolutionary mind that we all have within us. And the time for us to be radical, as Angela Davis was back in the 70s, it's time for us in 2022 to be radical about freeing the chains of mental slavery. Because going forward, it's going to be very challenging for many who are not ready for the changes that are coming on planet Earth in the way of financial quantum systems that are going to be put into place and so much more. And one of the areas that we're all very conscious of, or at least most of us, is the amount of trafficking that is going on in this country that has put many women in slavery from the abuse of that. But this song was created, and I know Debbie Allen was part of it. Every year there was a program or a promotion to create a love fest and a celebration of sorts to free the minds and the bodies and emotions of women who've been abused or trafficked. But we are now in a state of just freeing our minds of every type of abuse you can imagine. We've seen it. We've experienced it from our government and so much more. So let's just celebrate with this song that we are breaking these chains that have so kept us in bondage. And we're going to move into a moment.
I raise my arms to the sky. On my knees, I pray. I'm not a paid animal. I will walk through that door.
1 billion rising.
All right. And Dr. Debbie Green says we are not victims to anything in the external world, but victimized in our minds by fear. That's so true. Resist and run to peace. Accept the truth, and the answer shall be revealed to set you free. Thank you, Dr. Debbie. So powerful. And Regina Green says, latter statement, so true, indeed. So it's interesting. It looks like more, there's women. We only have women in the studio and in Facebook today. Are there any men out there with a voice? Where are all the men with the voices? Hello? Any men out there? We'd love to hear from you men out there, because the women, the goddesses are speaking tonight, but the men are silent. Is that what's going on? Are you men silent? Come on, men, where are you? Speak up. Let's hear the other yin-yang, the yin side of the issue. Otherwise, we're going to just keep going with the audios here, because breaking the chains is a process of self-discovery, and we're here tonight to encourage you and to help you. And this next one, a grandmother. I want to honor the grandmothers, and this woman is especially important. Her name is Opal. I had Opals in my family lineage. And so we're just going to keep bringing the female energy into this. And I think that's part of the way we break the mental slavery, is help the men balance their bodies with more feminine energy and stop the testosterone attacks and bring out the goddess in even the men. But this grandmother has an interesting point of view I want to share that helps us see how our ancestors looked at the history and how they, in somewhat naively and simply viewed things in their life, because they suffered quite a bit. But this woman is from Texas, where Juneteenth started its historical story, and I just want you to hear her point of view as an elder.
My DNA to help people. Juneteenth is actually the 19th day of June, and it started in 1865 when a General Gordon Granger and 7,000 black troops made their way to Galveston to tell the 250,000 enslaved people there that they were free. He nailed that order, it was called General Order Number 3, to the door of Reedy Chapel African Methodist Episcopal Church. And when those people came in from their work and somebody read that to them, they started celebrating, and we've been celebrating ever since. They gained so much. They gained the ability to name themselves, to have children that weren't taken away from them. They were able to dress, to own property, to vote, pay taxes, all of these things. It was freedom then, and we need freedom now. And I see Juneteenth being a unifier. There's some 47 states that have Juneteenth celebrations. That National Juneteenth Service Foundation, started by Dr. Ronald Myers, who was a Baptist minister. He was a medical doctor and a jazz musician, all rolled into one. And Dr. Myers went all over these United States setting up Juneteenth festivals and educational components. We owe him what we have today, where we're trying to get the bill passed to make it a national holiday.
And what do you have plans for this year for Juneteenth, and how can people get involved?
I thought you'd never ask. We are planning a caravan like we had last year, that over 300 cars followed my 2.5-mile walk from downtown Fort Worth to Will Rogers to symbolize that it was 2.5 years after the emancipation that the news reached the enslaved in Texas. We moved to Fort Worth. My parents bought a house in a neighborhood of only whites, and they didn't want us there. On the 19th of June, they formed a mob, 500 strong, the police said. And my father came with a gun, and the police told him that if you bust a cap, we'll let that mob have you. The paper says that the police couldn't control the mob. Our parents sent us to friends, and they left under cover of darkness. But those people tore that place apart, burned the furniture. If we had been allowed to stay in that neighborhood, they would have found that we wanted the same thing they wanted. Decent job, decent place to stay. My dad put food on the table. The kids go to school. At that time, their children in one direction and we went in another. But we all wanted the same thing, but we weren't allowed to stay. We need to band together and try to work out the disparities that exist in our schools, in our health care system, jobs. The pay needs to be equal for everybody doing the same job. There's so many things that need to be addressed. We need to work together to eradicate these disparities. We need to keep the pressure on. We took that many signatures to them in September. And I was back in Washington and spoke at the National Press Club. And do you know Senator Conyers and Representative Sheila Jackson Lee offered bills that same day to make Juneteenth a national holiday? I could have done a holy dance. And I just might. When it's passed, I've learned that you can DM me at the Real Oakley. None of us are free until we're all free. And freedom is what we still have to work toward.
Okay, let's call it. What do they say? Let's call it a wrap.
That's a wrap.
Yeah, all right.
And as my guest on Friday said, let's get it on, because now with that powerful testimony of an elder, even she is stating that we need to be unified and have better schools, better health care. And so we got to let's get it on to do these things that are so needed now that we've been through many of the worst events that we could possibly think of. And it's interesting, the numbers that came out. Mama AZ, I don't know if you caught this, but she said 7,000 black troops entered Texas back there in 1865. 250,000 people were supposedly freed, and it was on June 19th. All of those are sevens. Whoa. I couldn't help but get that one. So what that really tells us in very simple, straightforward terms is it's all been in divine order. All that suffering, all the events that took place, divine order. 3 sevens in one issue, one moment of time, June 19th, 7,000 black troops, 250,000 people, all sevens, divine order. So I pray now that as we go forward into the more challenging times we may face in the next few months, that we all just keep that perspective. Everything is in divine order. We can now take personal responsibility for every choice we've ever made and realize that victimhood is powerless, means there is no power in being a victim, but you can be empowering yourself and lifting others up as we take personal responsibility. So let us breathe out this session with our favorite song, Earth, My Body. Let us breathe in together the energy we've just consumed, taken in, integrate it all into our psyche, healing the mental chains, the slavery, with the reality of who we are. We all divine beings, divine creatures, here to make a difference if we choose, making a difference to bring more peace, more love, more harmony, unifying the body of people that we are responsible for or around, to bring in more love, compassion, and wisdom. So we're going to just breathe in to a count of four, hold it for a count of four, breathe out to a count of four, hold it to a count of four. That's called a square breathing process. You can change that if you like, but if we want to do it all together, let's just bring that count into our mind as we close our eyes and meditate on the words, action of inhaling, creating.
Earth, my body, water, my blood, air, my breath, and fire, my spirit. Earth, my body, water, my blood, air, my breath, and fire, my spirit. I like to sing to the earth, I like to hold her. She likes to sing to me, she likes to hold me. I like to sing to the earth, I like to hold her. She likes to sing to me, she likes to hold me. I can't resist fools of ease. I make love to the breeze. I carry fistfuls of bone. I trust they will lead me home. I carry grief on my wings. I know a caged bird sings. Through many turns of this moon, my women have suffered wounds. But my grandmother's with me. Close your eyes, can't you see? And my grandchildren are here. The rose, the crow, and the deer. I am surrounded by light, the light of stories. I need to quiet my mind, I need to listen. We are surrounded by light, a light of stories. We need to quiet our minds, we need to listen. Earth, my body, water, my body, air, my breath, and fire, my spirit. Earth, my body, water, my spirit. Earth, my body, earth, my body, water, my blood. Air, my breath, and fire, my spirit.
hold it, and exhale. Ah, beautiful energy with the women, and I believe there may be one male in the studio that's silent tonight, but Dr. Debbie Green says, be your own self-advocate. Never silence yourself. Let the truth in your heart come out by self-compassion, self-love, and female energy coming forth. And that's for both men and women. Let the softness come forth from our men and create more peace and get rid of the war-mongering that's been going on for too long. So thank you so much for all of you participating tonight. Come back tomorrow morning for Zelda. Monday morning mindfulness. Let's see if we have a show tomorrow. She'll be there tomorrow morning. Celebrating Juneteenth tomorrow on Monday Morning Mindfulness. So everybody have a beautiful evening.
We've come to the end of our show today. But you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, xiexie. India, zanyaba. Japan, arigato. Korea, kamsahamnida. Russia, spasiba. Germany, danke. Poland, jeonkujeon. France, merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, Nyabonga. Senegal, jaret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur, Saudi Arabia, shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.